This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The MFG Cast presents To Catch a Thief. Okay, so as your chauffeur gets you into the car to what you assume is to take you back, your driver says, oh, I almost forgot. I was told that by Mr. Stanwyck that you have a room available at the Hotel Bossert here in Manhattan, if you please. It's a nice little place with some great rooms, and it's also got a nice little restaurant called the Marine Roof.
Oh, well, you don't say. That's pretty nice of him. I didn't bring a change of clothes or a toothbrush or nothing.
And he kind of like thinks about it. He says, well, as far as Mr. Stanwyck has told me, he says that I'm supposed to take care of any amenities that you see fit. So if you'd like, I could always take you somewhere to, you know, fetch yourself some. We could either go back to your place or we could go to the nearest Taylor, and Mr. Stanwyck told me money is no option.
He rolls it around in his brain for a minute, like, oh, yeah, I could, you know, get a nice suit, you know, a nice suit. And I'm like, no, I don't get caught up in any of this. I don't know where this come from. And he just, you know, after a minute, he's like, you know what, let's just swing by my place, check, make sure I lock the windows, and, you know, that'll be good.
Of course, sir. Yeah, and he drives you to your place. You can, you know, do what you want to do. You can also, you know, make calls if you need to tell Janice that you're going to be staying. It's up to you.
I don't think he makes any. Well, so does the guy stay down in the car, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't follow you in unless you, like, ask for him to help you or whatever.
No, I he wouldn't. I don't know that he would necessarily call anybody. You know, he packs like a small bag. He, you know, he's got he probably has his gun on him already anyway, since he's working.
Yeah.
Maybe grabs the camera, you know, lock picks, you know, and any other sundry. I'll spend a point of preparedness to make sure that I have all the things that I need.
Yeah, for sure.
For you know, for work. Yeah, I guess I would have hid those pictures from earlier. I guess that would have been before. Yeah, Greg grabs some stuff and I guess heads back down.
Okay. Yeah, so you head back in the car and you head back to Manhattan. It you know, by this time you've kind of done some things, and I'm trying to think. It was pretty early when you went to see him, and then going back and forth, you probably would be grabbing a later lunch, okay, than an early lunch.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So, yeah, he, I don't even know if I named the driver.
I think so. That's why I didn't file these papers. Yeah, I think it was Frederick, maybe?
I had a lot of this stuff written down, but that's the one thing I did not write down is
Frederick.
Frederick, okay. Actually, I'm going to write that down quick so I have that for myself. Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, he leads you there or whatever, and you see this beautiful old hotel, 14 floors with that two-level restaurant on the top. It actually is the awning of the restaurant, as you can see from below, is got green on it, and it's got a great view of the Manhattan skyline. You're led into the Hotel Bossert, and there's someone waiting for you at the service counter.
Like for me specifically? Or like there's just like a
just someone there working there. Okay. for to check in and stuff like that.
Yeah. He walks up and he says, you know, kind of like looks left and right, kind of like taking the place in. He's like, there's a room for me, George Armstrong.
And she kind of like looks at the paperwork and just is flipping her papers. And she's like, yes, okay, let me look. Ah, yes, Mr. Armstrong, you have the complimentary suite up on level 14. Yes, it looks like you are there for, looks like we've got you there for up to 4 days. It looks like it's all been paid for by Mr. Stanwyck. Great, great, good. Looks like everything's in order here. Here's your key. It's got, I will have one of my men help you up there to get you in. Just to let you know, we have a free complimentary breakfast right away in the morning from 7 to 9 a.m. That is in the Marine Roof. Also, if you're looking for some amenities, we're always available 24/7. And if you also want to order in some room service, just dial 0. That will bring you to me, and I will set you up with anything that you need. Is there anything else I can help you with, sir?
No, that seems to cover it. Thank you.
Okay. If you ever need any extra towels or anything, just let me know. My name is Bernice, and I will help you in any way that I can do so.
Well, thank you, Bernice. I hope you have a nice day.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you for staying at the Hotel Bosser.
You should thank Mr. Stanwyck.
Oh, believe me, he keeps us in business.
Well, you don't say. He sends a lot of business this way.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the official hotel where the players stay when the season is afoot. So at any time you'll see any of our superstars walking in and out of the hotel, just be, if you're going to say something, make sure that you don't take up too much of their time. We have a strict no harassment policy when it comes to our players or celebrities that may stay at the Hotel Bossert. So just keep that in mind. Otherwise, you have a great stay.
Thanks.
Okay.
And he goes to grab his bag, and I assume the guy like steps up behind him and like grabs it.
Yeah. There's like a little pimply boy or whatever that's really nervous. He like takes it on me like, I got this, mister. Going to the 14th floor, correct?
Yes, we are.
All right, just follow me. And he kind of adjusts his little bellhop cap and goes to the door, or goes to the elevator. Bing hits the up button, and you guys are on your way upstairs.
I'm thinking as I'm looking at him, as he's kind of like shuffling back and forth in the elevator, like, this kid should be in school probably still.
Yeah, he looks a lot younger than you would assume so, but yeah. some younger kids back in the day had to have a, you know, carry a job like that. So
yep.
Yeah, so you're heading upstairs. You question. Does
do I offer him a smoke? Well,
yeah, no, never mind. I was just gonna say, we just like, I want to rewind a little bit and just like your driver will just be like, I'm also staying here as well. I will be a lot lower than you. I'll probably be on the first floor here. So if you need me to take you anywhere, just let me know. My room number is 102.
Oh, great. Good to know. Thanks, Freddie.
Okay. So right back. So you're back in the elevator. You're going up quite a bit there. No one seems to come in the elevator as you're going. And then, bing, you hit the 14th floor.
It's the bypass on. It's like express up to the top. No riffraff.
Yep, exactly. And as you are led to your room, you can tell that everything on this floor is immaculate. Anything from the floors to the paintings to the windows, you know, just everything is just gorgeous. And the pimply boy brings you to your room or whatever. He's like, okay, here we are. Room 412. Let me just, and he holds his, or wait, no, he brings out his keys, cause he's got like a thing of keys or whatever. And he like opens the door and leads you in. And the inside is just stunning. You've got a large king size bed. You've got, chandeliers that are just beautiful, old lamps that look like they're worth more than what you've gotten for one job. There's, you know, a Bible on the nightstand. There's also like a long couch, actually a couple of long couches or whatever for you to sit in or whatever. And then a big, beautiful bedroom, big, beautiful bathroom, and a modest kitchen area.
He takes his wallet, gives the kid, you know, or maybe I guess change would be more appropriate, right? For the yeah. you know, whereas I give $5, it's worth like $100 today.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. He's like, so, golly, sir, that's quite even nice of you.
Yeah, so he gives the kid like, you know, 50 cents or something for carrying a bag up. He, you know, like walks, you know, he's, oh, you know, okay, whatever. Like, you know, starts walking and like walks him out to the door, closes, locks the door. And then he like he pokes around, like he goes in the bathroom, he looks, he flips on the light, he opens up the closet. He might go so far as to like look under the bed. It's cool. But like now that he's here, it's kind of like, I wonder if I shouldn't have just taken the cab over every day. How far is Manhattan from where I normally am?
I think we talked about it already. I think it was only like 20 minutes. It wasn't even that far.
Oh, it's not that far. Okay.
No. I think we were like, I was like, oh, this is going to take you forever. And it was like 20 minutes. Like, oh, yeah, it's really not that far from you at all.
Okay. I mean, maybe longer with traffic or something like in the morning or whatever. Yeah, I think he sits down to the side of the bed, lights a cigarette, you know, pulls the ashtray over from the end table, you know, takes a puff, you know, flicks the ash into the tray. I think he's just kind of sitting there kind of taking it in for a minute. I think he gets up, he walks over, you know, pulls the curtains, takes a look out at the view. It's not normally a place that he would probably ever stay at. So he's kind of like soaking it in, you know, slow turn, you know, cigarette in hand, just kind of, you know, I think he pokes his head in the fridge to see if there's anything in there.
Let's just say like there's like just a couple of amenities. So like there's like condiments, there's like milk, water. Let's say like there's a coffee maker and actually, you know, coffee there, you know, so you could brew your own. Not really much for food inside of it, just because they're, you know, most people that stay at these places are not making food or keeping food in there. Yeah, they're probably ordering or going up to the marine roof to get a bite to eat.
I think he stubs out a cigarette, probably, you know, like tosses the key up, catches it, sticks it in his pocket. Locks the door and heads up to grab something to eat.
Okay. All right.
So I'm not paying for it.
Yeah, no kidding. So as you head up to this place, it's beautiful. It's open. It's actually like there's a bunch of tables and then there's kind of a bar around the middle, but there's also there's also kind of like a balcony where there's more tables. And you can actually see, you can, again, because most of it's, well, there's a roof on the inside, but then there's also, you can go outside to the balcony and you can see outside and actually be outside having a bite to eat as well. There's also a second level as well that has another bar, and then it's got a small smattering of tables and stuff like that, but it almost looks like it's a VIP area for their more cherished guests.
And
there's a young lady that's just like, welcome to the Marine Roof. How may I serve you today? Would you like a table or a booth today? Or would you like to sit out and see our wonderful skyline?
Yeah, let me sit outside. That'd be nice.
Okay. All right. Follow me. And she leads you out there. And as you're kind of walking by or whatever, I will ask you a question. Are you a sports fan at all?
I mean, it's the 40s, so probably baseball for sure.
Okay.
Maybe not so much football.
Yeah.
I think baseball is more well established at that point than.
Yeah. Yeah. So
than football is.
So you'll see like a couple of people that you're like, okay, that person obviously must play some kind of sport. I don't know what, but like that is a massive human being. So like they must play basketball or something. You see that one of the guys looks like a current LA or a current Brooklyn Dodger. Yep. And a couple of other people that you're like, okay, I know that person, like either from television or radio or something like that. So you're like, you're in good company up here as far as like if you are wanting to see the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And she leads you to your table and she says, will this be sufficient? And it's literally almost smack dab in the middle of everything else. there's a lot of like, you can tell there's a lot of people that are like, okay, that person must be a CEO of a company because they're dressed to the nines. Beautiful.
They're drinking martinis.
Yeah, exactly. and there's like, you know, like that, this person must be like a rock star and a couple of models that are eating dinner with them and stuff like that. And, you know, you're led right in the center of it, which is interesting because you'd feel like, okay, maybe I should be on the outskirts of these things, but nobody has taken the center table, or at least someone had it and they had left. So,
yeah. He's not super comfortable sitting like smack dab in the middle. It just is not where he would normally sit.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would make a stink about it. Like, if that's the table she walks to, he's like, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, looks around and sits, you know, kind of stiffly at first. Because he never wants to be the center of attention.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, would much rather be sort of on the edge looking in to keep eyes on stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Not that I would expect anything to happen here necessarily, but also like, yeah, it's a weird position for him to be in.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, the table with the rock star and the two models or whatever, like the two models kind of look over and kind of stare at you. One of them kind of gives you like a wry look, like, hey, how are you doing? You know, that kind of thing. And the other one is like kind of staring at you like, something doesn't belong here, you know. She's kind of like looking at everybody else and looking at you like, how's this guy here? You know, that
rumpled gray suit.
Yes, exactly. Like, must be a favor for a favor for somebody else kind of thing.
Yeah. I think when the other girl kind of like looks at him a little bit more appraisingly, like he just kind of, you know, he winks, you know, kind of like not hams it up, but, you know, obviously like, yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And so like she smiles, you know, and she like takes it in, like she's, you know, in on the game or whatever, and the rock star or whatever that's kind of with the two or whatever kind of like nudges her and is like, hey, like you're with me here, so keep let's have this conversation, let's keep it here, you know, that kind of thing. And she laughs a little bit, and then they get into their conversation. After a while, a server comes to you and he hands you a menu or whatever, and he says, welcome to the Hotel Bossert restaurant, the Marine Roof. I will be your server today. My name is Ted. My name is Theodore.
Hmm.
The specials for today are a filet mignon with a side of country potatoes. We also have our Italian wedding soup and with some of our world famous Italian bread to go with it. We have a lot of other choice items here. I will let you take a look at the menu. Is there anything I can get you to drink while you are trying to make your decision?
I don't drink whiskey, but I think maybe he orders like a higher end whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
With a, you know, like a glass of water.
Okay. Yeah. And he's like, of course, right away. Take your time, and I will be back shortly with your drink.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah. And he takes off and grabs your drink.
All right. I'm busily smoking again, perusing at the menu, which probably doesn't even have prices on it. Because if you can afford to eat here, you don't care what the prices are.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. No, there's no prices. There's no lunch menu. There's no senior citizen discount. It's just a lot of high-end stuff, a lot of fishes, a lot of steaks, a lot of high-end things that you're like, okay, well, as long as it's on Mr. Stanwyck's dime, I'm gonna be able to feed myself well for now, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he comes back with your drink or whatever, and he's like, "Yeah, is there anything have you made a decision, sir?"
About the filet mignon sounds good.
Beautiful, wonderful. How would you like that cooked? Some people like it well done. Some people like it medium rare. Some people like it as rare as rare can be.
A nice medium.
Oh, of course. Give it a little bit of that cook, but not too much. Of course. Right away, sir. Is there anything else I can get for you on the side? Any appetizer I can get you?
No, I think that'll do me fine.
All right. I will put that in with the chef, and hopefully we will see that very soon.
All right, thanks.
And he takes off.
Yeah, big filet mignon with some baked potato and, you know, steamed vegetable. Like, that's a full meal.
Yeah, exactly. So as you're kind of scanning the crowd, like, this place is really busy. You can tell it's kind of, it feels like it's kind of a hot spot for, not only for the hotel itself, but just for the town of Manhattan, or for the city of Manhattan. And, you know, you see a lot of people just kind of mingling and stuff like that. And you see this one table and a lot of people are just really having a just raucous of a time. They're like, it's a lot of loud talking, a lot of laughing, a lot of like, you know, kind of like, hey, and kind of thing. And like, people are just having fun, you know? And you see like there's this, you see this big beefy dude, about 6'1", around 300 pounds, dark black hair that's slicked back with a gel, and a dark maroon suit. And he's just like kind of the center of the attention and stuff like that, you know? And, you know, everyone's just having a good time and stuff like that. And he's like laughing and looking around or whatever. And he's for some reason spots you, and he's just like, and like talking to everybody, slapping people on the back. And he's like, excuse me a moment. And he walks towards you.
And I'm like internally like, fuck. Because I was going to see if I can make an insight or if we even need to make a roll. Like, I get the sense that, you know, this is sort of like a made guy kind of thing.
You know what? Go ahead and make a roll for me. Go ahead.
Okay.
We're going to make it a 3 as our DL.
Okay. Awareness is +2. I cannot fail. I should say that I rolled a 1, a 2, and a 3. So it's going to be a 5. Still yes and.
Yep. So you don't think that this guy's a made man, but you definitely know that he's got clout. He's definitely, there's something behind him, some big energy. You know, he kind of walk. He's got that cock of the walk kind of feeling to him, like not to be messed with kind of thing, but also very confident and not aggressive, but very like just kind of like very confident. I will ask you a question. Just because, well, and this is probably something you could make up on your own, or you can, you know, whatever, you could just be like, no, or yes, whatever. Have you ever been to Manhattan?
I have been to Times Square. I haven't been like in, you know, like through Manhattan, I don't think. No, I've been to Queens.
Yeah. So I was going to have your and be, if you had been to Manhattan, you'd know who this guy is. But because you haven't, you don't quite know who he is. So he's going to introduce himself to you. So he strolls up and he says, you know what? I haven't seen you here before.
No, it's my first time. It's a pretty nice joint.
Oh, that's good. It's good. You're having a good time. You know, usually when I'm here, you know, there's, I know everybody, you know, I know this guy, you know, he's like saying names. He's like, I know he's talking about the rock star. He's talking about the models. He's talking about the Brooklyn Dodger that's behind him. He's like, I know all these people, but you come in here fresh faced. I don't know who he is, but you know what? I just thought I would introduce myself. My name is Boom Boom Calhoun. And he hangs and he puts his hand out for you to shake.
Yeah, I put my cigarette down in the ashtray and, you know, I half stand that awkward, like I'm going to get up and like shake your hand kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure. So you like, he gives you a grip, and it's not like an aggressive grip, but it's enough of a grip that, you know, that, you know, this guy probably uses his fist to do a couple of things. Cause you even with like shaking his hand, you could feel the calluses on his knuckles, you know, that kind of thing. And it's not an aggressive handshake, but it's a firm handshake.
It's a firm 1940s, I'm a man handshake.
Yes, exactly. And he, you know, and he says, what brings you into town?
I don't know how I would answer that.
Would you lie or would you tell the truth? That's why we put you in these situations, just to see how you squirm.
And I have no idea, that name doesn't ring a bell at all.
It does not, because if you're not either from Manhattan or have visited, you wouldn't know the name.
Okay. So I think he just says, I don't know, because I'm always so honest when we play and it's never good.
That's the conundrum. George, what are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm thinking I should have sat in the corner. I mean, I clearly have a New York accent, so I'm from here. So they'll be like, I flew in from, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You can't be like, I'm from Tennessee. You know? Like, yeah. No, you're not.
Boom, boom, Calhoun, big guy. First thought was maybe he was with the mob. Don't know who he is, but he knows who everybody else is. This is riveting him, I'm sure.
That's why we have editing, John, so don't worry about it.
I think he just says, I'm in town to see the game this weekend.
Oh, you don't say. Oh, I love them Brooklyn Dodgers. Go Dodgers. And he's like, he like points at that guy or whatever. And the Brooklyn Dodgers there. And he like points back, like double points at him, you know. And yeah. he's like, oh, that's great. That's great. You know, just coming in to see the game. You know, is it your first?
No, I've been in. But, they're doing the auction. And I heard Cuddles might actually be there at the game. So, yeah, it's a whole thing.
And he's like, oh, that. You know, that's great. He's like, you know, if you're in town for a few days, I just want to formally invite you to my place, the Boom Boom Room, the little casino we got here that, you know, be able to play some games, win some money, have some drinks, you know, be into a little something else, get a little something else, if you know what I mean. And he kind of like looks at the girls and winks at them or whatever. And he's like,
yeah,
he's like, you know, just stop by. You're going to be my guest.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, maybe I'll take you up on that.
All right. I hope to see you there. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm probably ruining you's dinner or ruining you's lunch. So you know what? I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to get back to my peoples here, but just let you know, welcome to Manhattan, you know, and have some fun.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. That's pretty nice of you.
You bet. All right. Have yourself a good day. And he turns and he walks away.
And he's like inside. He's like, what the fuck? Fuck. He looks around like, is there any place I could sit? Like,
and you look and like every table's full now. It's a packed house and you're like, crap, I can't displace myself.
Yeah, I think he sips on the whiskey and just kind of takes in the scene.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so the place fills up, just people watching, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, he's not necessarily trying to suss anything out in the moment, but like you just like can't turn that off.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like that. Once a PI, always a PI, even if you retired.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So yeah. So you get your food. It's perfection. Like it melts in your mouth. You know, it's like there's not a tough piece of meat. The potato is like butter, you know, it's just amazing. The vegetables feel like they've just been picked and cooked. I mean, there's just nothing. Even the drink is like, you know, the best stock, you know, and just everything is to perfection.
Like that.
yeah. And as you kind of sit there and, you know, contemplate things and stuff like that, like, you know, people kind of come and go. Boom Boom Calhoun and his crew are kind of, you know, eating and having fun and stuff like that. And then eventually they actually disperse off before you're even done. So, you know, your waiter comes by and it says like, is there anything else I can get you dessert, anything to go back? And he's like, if you have anything that you need to go, I can always do that. Are you staying here? We can always have something sent to your room if that's how you feel.
I'm staying here. I wouldn't mind taking a look at the old dessert menu. They have a cup of coffee.
All right. Yep. So then, you know, again, just because I can't think of anything out of the top of my head, just tons of like awesome like mousses and cakes and stuff like that. You know, and you pick your favorite one to go, and they put in a nice little box for you or whatever. You know, and. He hands you the bill or whatever, and it's like absorbently high. And you're like, I would never be able to afford this, you know. And he's like, you could take care of it here, or I can charge it to your room. It's up to you.
To the room, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, of course. You're welcome, sir. And you know, he takes it with him or whatever, and you know, whatever, and excuses you, and you can do with you as you intend.
So it's like late afternoon-ish, maybe like pushing 3 o'clock at this point, something like that.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about, like, you know, what do I know? You know, what are my leads? You know, what's my next course of action? Like, I have Cuddle's phone number. I don't know how useful that is. I assume he didn't steal it.
That'd be kind of weird.
And people do crazy things, so I guess not out of the realm of possibility.
Yep.
So yeah, maybe I head back down to the room, open up that, you know, pie or whatever it is, and give Cuddles a call.
Nice. All right. Yeah. So you give it a call. Takes a few rings or whatever, but after a few rings, you hear a hello. It's a female voice on the end.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. I'm trying to reach Mr. McDougal.
Oh, of course. He's in the shower right now. Do you want me to wait? Would you like to wait for him, or would you like to call back? Or would you like me to take a message? I could always take a message.
Yeah. He looks down at the phone number that's like they used to put like in the dial, little plastic with the number or whatever. I don't know. I've never gotten a phone call at a hotel before. You just give the hotel and the room number?
Yep. You just be like, I'm staying at Hotel Bossert, and then whatever. And then they would always call call the desk.
Right. So I do that. I say those things to her. Okay. Right. I give her my name. You know, I tell her I'm a PI. I tell her I'm a PI.
Okay. She starts writing it down. She's like, oh, private investigator. Well, I wonder what Cuddles got into this time. And she kind of giggles to herself and writes down all the information or whatever. She says, I will let him know as soon as he is available.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Goodbye. Have a good afternoon.
You too. She hangs up on you.
I put a finger on the buttons for the receiver. Nobody knows what that means anymore.
When you hung up, you had to physically hang up back in those days.
Yeah. I think it's early. It's a Tuesday. Does Bill usually work tonight? I mean, I'm assuming I would at least have some sense of like when I see him there.
When who?
Like, is it
who?
Bill Fullman. Working at the Glow tonight?
Yeah. Well,
or what I think, at least, right? Because maybe he went out for dinner, maybe like took a vacation day or whatever.
Yeah, no, Bill is usually at the Glow a lot, and it's 3 o'clock, so I would assume that he probably would be there because he probably works like a 1 to close shift or something like that, maybe even later than that, but you would just assume he'd be there.
Yeah. Okay. I call over to the Glow.
Okay. All right. Trying to think who would answer. Like, would one of the bartenders answer? Probably. Cause I don't think, I don't think a bouncer would answer. So yeah. So you know what? Let me look.
It's probably that guy that fucking hates me.
Yep. It's going to be, let's see. Okay. All right. Yep. So yeah. So you give a call or whatever, and you hear a voice on the other end, which is a voice that you know for a fact really doesn't like you that much. And he says, hello, Glow Lounge.
Hey, yeah, can I talk to Bill Fullman, please?
Who's asking?
It's George Armstrong.
George Armstrong. All right, give me a second. And you hear him like slam the receiver like down on the bar just to kind of like get a loud sound into your ear or whatever. And you hear him say, Bill, phone. And you hear some heavy steps. And you like just before he picks up the receiver, you hear Bill go, asshole. And then he picks up and he's like, hey, Vulture.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Good. You?
I'm not doing too bad.
Yeah. But what gives me the incredible honor of talking to the great George Armstrong?
All right, get out of here with that shit. I got a question for you. You might be able to help me out with.
I'm all ears.
You know, does the name Boom Boom Calhoun ring a bell?
And you hear like a long pause, and then you hear him go, Georgie, Vulture, what have you done?
Well, I didn't do anything. I couldn't put a face to the name, or a name to the face. either one of those things. Do you know who that guy is?
You damn right I do. How did you get that name?
Well, he introduced himself to me while I was at dinner tonight.
Oh, what did he say to you?
Well, he welcomed me to Manhattan, which was kind of funny because, you know, living in fucking Brooklyn. But, yeah, he invited me to the Boom Boom Room. Mm. I assume that's his bar, his club, his establishment there.
Yeah. I've heard two not good things about the Boom Boom Room, if you ask me. A lot of people that got a lot of debts with Boom Boom.
Mm. Okay, he's one of those guys.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He does some loan sharking too, so you have to be careful with that guy.
I don't have any money to give him.
That's good, because you don't want to be in his debt.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
Sure is. He's a confident guy. He doesn't get caught. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, most of them don't.
Which doesn't make sense if you really think of it, right? Bad guys should be getting their due. The good guys should be getting their due. You know, that kind of thing. Never works out that way.
No, I guess it depends on what you believe, right? Some people tell you they get their comeuppance in the afterlife, right?
Yeah. Well, let's hope that's true.
Yeah, well, okay. I kind of maybe had the feeling that he was one of those guys, but I couldn't really put my finger on it.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with your case, one of the cases you're working on, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Just a happy coincidence.
Yeah. Just be careful, you know, like I said, it's okay if you go in there and, you know, spend your money. God, what's the word I'm thinking?
Like, don't spend past your means kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, basically he's trying to tell you, like, if you're going to do the thing, just do up to a minimum, you know, don't go over what you got and yeah, you'll be good.
Yeah, no worries. I don't think I'm going to be spending any time over in the Boom Boom's room.
He says, just be careful. You know, he's not one of those guys you want to owe a favor for.
Yeah, I'm up to my neck in favors.
he's like, I know the feeling.
Hey, how's Mary doing?
She's doing good. Yeah? Doing good. Yeah.
No nightmares, no bad dreams, no nothing.
No. She's a tough gal. She's getting along really well. You know. I mean, she's got to be tough to be hanging out with me, right? You know, deal with my bullshit.
She probably put you in your place.
Yes. You know it, Vulture.
All right. Well, thanks, Bill. You have a good night. I appreciate appreciate the info.
All right. No problem. Stay safe.
All right. Thanks. You too.
All right.
And then he sits and, you know, like, kind of leans back, like props up some pillows, kind of like kicks a leg up on the bed and, you know, leans back, waits for see if McDougal calls back.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you don't have to wait long, you know, within a couple of minutes, the phone rings.
Hey, this is George Armstrong.
Mr. Armstrong, this is Cuddles McDougal. How are you doing today, sir?
Good. How you doing, Mr. McDougal?
I'm doing good. I hear you're private investigator come to talk to me.
Yeah. I heard they're auctioning off the one of your baseballs over at the for opening weekend this weekend.
I was really hoping.
Oh, so I get the sense that he knows them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You can tell it in his voice that he's disappointed that he doesn't have the ball.
Okay. Mr. Stanwyck, well, I'm investigating the situation, trying to figure out what happened. I don't have too many leads to work with right now, quite honestly. I was hoping maybe you might provide some information. I don't know, you know, anything might stick out off the top of your head. Just helping out the team, you know, with the ball. I'm just trying to get a lay of the land.
Yeah, so he's like, he's kind of thinking or whatever, and he's like, yeah, you know, there's not a lot of things that I see, you know. It's, you know, again, when you're a ball player, like, there's going to be people that like you, there's going to be people that don't like you. Like, I've got a lot of friends, I don't really have any enemies, you know. Maybe, you know, a couple of, you know, trying to think if give me 1 second, just wanted to do some research so I wasn't saying the wrong thing. You know, maybe some, you know, New York Giants that don't like me, that kind of thing. Maybe there's some of their fans and stuff like that. But no, I don't really have any like enemies that I know of, you know, unless I, you know, unless I smacked them upside the head with a home run, you know, not knowing. But yeah, I try to keep my personal life to myself. I try to, you know, keep my shirt clean, my nose out of bad things. So, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't know where this is coming from. And to tell you the truth, I don't like it.
Did anybody suspect that, I mean, no offense, great player and everything, that the ball was going to fetch that amount of money?
Well, I am the youngest player to hit 100 home runs, you know, it only took me 5 years. So like, that's kind of a feat. So, you know, yeah, I'm sure there's, you know, a few people here and there that have a lot of indisposable income and stuff like that, or disposable income. That's the right phrase, you know, to spend on that. Sure. You know, me, I love certain players and stuff like that. I don't know if I'd pay that absorbent amount of money just for a baseball, you know. I'd rather pay for an experience, but I don't know. That's just me.
Did Mr. Stanwyck call you when the theft occurred?
No, his he never calls anybody. It was his
assistant. Okay. Yeah.
His assistant, yep. Yeah, Stanwyck only comes to yell at us. You know, he doesn't really ever come to give us like slaps on the back, high five. It's more like braiding us and stuff like that.
Yeah, I got the sense of that when I talked to him. Yeah, he had the help all riled up.
Yeah, he's got deep pockets, but he doesn't have a good heart.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So I would just try to confirm the timeline that it was, you know, did he call 3 days ago? You know, so like, did they call the next day? Like, ah, shit, you know, the fucking ball got stolen.
Yeah.
You have another one.
Yeah, like, no shit. Just
fucking said something else.
Yeah.
And because they might not have, thinking like, oh, maybe somebody was fucking around. And
yeah.
Call him until a couple days later.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, let's just say that. Let's just say, yeah. Let's just say he's like, yeah. Now they called me a couple of days after. I don't know if they just didn't trust me or something like that, thinking I stole my own ball, but why would I do that? I just don't understand. Like, I love that it's on display. Like, but again, it's just a ball with my name on it. You know, it was a piece of history. Great. I love that. Like, my name will be in the books. That I'm a big fan of. But I don't need no ball. I don't need my signature.
Did they tell you whether or not they had anybody who was maybe interested? Any names get floated around, anything like that?
Oh, most of the time you get those big names, you know, people around town, those, you know, like, and he's like spouting off like, you know, like CEOs of different companies and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, just people like that. And like someone, they're always wanting to get their hands on that just to say I have this, because, you know, just another shiny thing to add to the collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I got to tell you, Mr. McDougal, I'm doing everything I can to try to get this ball back, make sure this comes through for you, because that is that's an amazing piece of history.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's unfortunately with my injury, like I have to now be the face of the Dodgers to kind of pay my way back from my contract. Otherwise, they'll void it out, and you know, even though it was unfortunate what happened to me, like I did earn that paycheck. And so, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I can to fulfill my contract.
Yeah, good on it. They owe it to you anyway. So I think he says, he just follows that up and says, yeah, you know, well, play your character comes around. It's like, you know, once in a lifetime, you know?
And he says, I appreciate the kind words. He says, I do my best for, you know, the community. That's all I want to do, you know, just. There's always those voices out there that like to put people down. But you know what? I say, you know what? Why can't we bring people up?
Amen to that. I appreciate your time. I don't want to hold you or anything. I just, you know, I figured I'd touch base, see if I could get any fresh look at this, you know, from a different angle. But I appreciate your help.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime I can help you.
All right. You have a good night.
You as well.
He hangs up, and then it's just like, fuck am I going to do now? And, you know, if I think about, you know, some of the people that he mentioned and then like, you know, out, you know, extrapolate out from that, like, you know, I wouldn't think necessarily that they would have stolen it. And if they did, they would be so far removed from the incident that, you know, that, you know, if it's the Rockefeller guy, you're not going to like catch him in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
For me as a player, I'm drawing up, could I like make like a brains roll? Maybe sure. Some kind of like hint.
Sure. Well, how about this? How about you phrase it in a way where I can help you get to that point? I know it's like, oh, give me a clue, you know, but I don't want to just be like, yeah, I feel bad because I know we're kind of in that weird, like, okay, where do we go from here kind of thing.
Yeah, sometimes it's not as much of an issue and I can work my way out of it, but this one is like so, because there were no clues at the scene, that it is difficult for me to like figure out. Like, so this is what I think, meta, that Biotti's got the fucking ball, but I don't want to go there, so I'm not going to do that. Yeah, so I don't. Because it makes, like, meta makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Tie a bunch of fucking things together.
Yeah.
I don't know that George would necessarily be thinking that, right? Yeah. Like, that, well, like, as a player, I'm, you know, definitely thinking
that. Yeah.
So it's still early. I'm in Manhattan. Maybe I go over to the Manhattan Police Department.
Okay.
Right? See what they know. You know, go and introduce myself as a fellow police adjacent. because technically I guess the mayor hired me, right? Or at least pushed me at the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Who's technically paying me?
Well, I think from what's happening here, we think that it's going to be Stanwyck that's paying for you. Paying.
Okay. Maybe we had that conversation. I still remember writing it down, but I remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure last session we said it was Stanwyck. If we didn't, then that's what it is right now.
Yeah. Hired by the Dodgers to find the baseball. Okay, so it is Stanwyck, for sure. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I think Stanwyck's name's probably got enough pull. I don't have to drop the. I don't want to get any more involved.
I want to get involved, but not that much.
So yeah, I'll head over to the Manhattan people. I guess there's probably more than one, but like the one that's near the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
I assume they would be the ones that would be handling it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you call Frederick. He brings the car around, takes you there, whatever, and he says, you guys are driving or whatever, and he says, oh, well, this is a pretty smart choice going to the local PD to see what they've got.
Well, yeah, there's no sense in doing work that's already been done, right?
That's true. You know what? I think I've heard that word delegation. I think that's a pretty good word.
That's what the investigative business is all about.
And he laughs or whatever, you know, and you can tell that he really enjoys like driving you around and stuff like that in your company and stuff. So he, you know, pulls to the front or whatever. And he says, here you go. Manhattan PD. You'll excuse me if I don't go in.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's like, you know, I'm sure they would love to talk to you, but I don't know. Me, probably not so much.
Yeah, that's better to stay off everybody's radar. That's what I find.
That's true. Good luck to you.
Thanks. He goes up. You know, there's like the little ball lights on the outside on the little hooked arms and, you know, big glass doors.
Yeah,
big for sure. Friggin' handles on them, you know. It walks up the marble steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. He goes in. Yeah. I assume it's not super busy if it's like 4:30 ish or whatever.
Yeah, it's super busy. People are being locked up, and no, it's not that bad.
There's a fight.
Yeah, exactly. Throws and punches are being thrown forever. No. Yeah, it's just here and there, some people being charged, some people being walked in and out and stuff like some cops just coming in and out or whatever. And someone's at the front desk and they're like, hi there, how may I help you?
Hi, officer. You know, he kind of like looks at the badge or whatever.
Yeah.
Thompson. My name is George Armstrong. I'm a private investigator. I've been contracted by Mr. Stanwyck to look into theft. Hoping that you might be able to share some information if maybe I could talk to the investigator who's been on detail to find the missing baseball.
Okay. All right, that looks like that is, and he's just like going through all the paperwork, whatever, and you know, it's kind of looking at it, and he's like, it looks like that is Officer Michaels. I think he is actually in right now, so give me a second, and I'm going to see if I can find him.
Great, I appreciate it.
No problem. And he kind of walks back. Doesn't take very long. You hear somebody yell Michaels, or whatever, walks back.
He goes to leave, and like I turn back against the thing, pull out a cigarette, and just kind of leaning and smoking.
Yeah.
You know, sure. Taking in the activity that's, you know, going on.
Yeah. And this wiry, crop topped, blonde fella walks up to you and says, Officer Michaels, Mr.
George Armstrong, private investigator.
Mr. Armstrong. What can I do for you, Mr. Armstrong?
Mr. Stanwyck contracted me to work on the case, the missing baseball. Not a big believer in duplicating work, so I was hoping that maybe we could have a conversation and you might be able to share with me what you found out, and I could share with you what I found out.
He says, he kind of looks at his watch or whatever, you know, kind of looks at you, looks at his watch. He's like, I got a few minutes. Why don't we go over here? And he finds a little spot to go into or whatever, and it looks like an interrogation like box or whatever.
A shutter.
But it's like again. But like you can tell, like, even though it doesn't look that busy, like there's not a lot of open spots or whatever. And he says, it'll be nice and private in here.
Great.
All right. Well, you know, what can I help you with?
And he like pulls out his notebook, you know, flips through to find the page, which I'm going to do here. Says, I talked to Mr. Stanwyck this afternoon. He says that the ball went missing about 3 days ago. I looked at it, looked like the lock was broken. Whoever did it had a lot of skill. I can tell you that there wasn't a whole lot of finagling with it. Yeah, it looked like the case was wiped clean. You know, there weren't any no fingerprints I could determine. One of the guards, he heard a noise out in left field, but really there's nothing out there. I mean, it's just kind of open out to the, you know, out into the field there. I was wondering whether or not, you know, maybe you guys had found something else, maybe tracked down some leads, a little bit of a blank at the moment.
And he kind of like thinks about, is kind of taking everything or whatever. Yeah. And he says, a lot of what you have found out is kind of similar to what we've found out. The only other thing that might be another thing that you might find interesting is that there was a late night concession drop off that night, and that the person that was supposed to be dropping off the concessions that night went home sick.
You don't say.
Yeah. And his replacement, who did the drop off or whatever, has only done it a few times and stuff like that. And he said that he felt like something strange had happened that night, because he had thought he'd heard a loud noise, went to go check it out, didn't quite see anything happening. So he just kind of shrugged it off. We were told that it was somewhere in left field. So we actually were on the scene to check, and we didn't find anything awry as far as that kid that was sick, that didn't do the concession drop off. He's gone missing. I don't know if it's something where something happened to him or whatnot, but we have yet to be able to find out his whereabouts.
Do you have a name for this kid?
Of course I do, which I will come up with right now. It is Johnny Timbo, Johnny Timbo, Timbo, Johnny Timbo.
Had he worked there for a while? Was he?
Yes, he was one of the regular drivers for concessions.
Regular driver. He's what age is this guy?
As far as I know, they say that he is 21 years old.
Just a young buck then.
Yeah, just a young guy. Looked at his writing and trying to talk. Okay. we had tried to look to see if he had a rap sheet. He's completely clean.
Any known associates? I mean, I know you say he's got a clean rap sheet. Anybody that he hangs around with?
Nobody of note that we could find out. We're still kind of looking into the family history and stuff like that, but as of now, we don't have anything to go on.
Do you have an address? Do you mind if I went over and talk to the family?
No, of course not. His address is 1826 31st Street.
Great. I assume you guys got an APB ad on this kid?
We do.
You don't happen to have a picture, do you?
And he kind of thinks about it, and he's like, oh, yeah, I might have one in my book. Give me a moment.
Because I don't know if they would have talked to the parents. Like, they went to look for him if he lives at home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, they got a picture from the parent or something
yeah,
like that.
Sure. Yeah, so he brings you one. It's this kid looks like he's got red hair, blue eyes, curly red hair, probably about 5'4", kind of a small guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, skinny.
Okay. Nothing stands out about him.
No.
In particular.
No. Yeah, no, just looks like stars or anything. Just like a typical Irish kid.
Okay. You know, he hands him the picture back. He, like, you know, jots down the description, you know, kind of tries to commit the face to memory sort of thing. He says, "All right, well, I appreciate that. I'll talk to the family." Kind of like looks at his watch. He says, "Yeah, it's probably time to go. I don't know. Would he go at dinner time? Maybe." Right? Like, it's psychological warfare, right? Like,
yes, exactly.
At dinner time, they're like, they're ready yeah, for dinner, like, and then you show up. And
I was going to eat. What are you doing? I don't need to talk to you. I'm trying to live my life, man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if their kid's missing, right, like, it wouldn't be untoward to show up even at dinner time, right? I don't think. So, yeah, he looks at his watch. And he says, "All right, well, I may stop over there tonight, see if maybe they've heard anything. I'll definitely keep an eye out for this kid. I have a couple of contacts. I'll see if I can't get a couple of other eyes looking for him as well."
I appreciate that. Question for you.
Yeah.
How would you phrase that? What did he specify why he hired you besides just trying to find the ball? Like, we, you know, us as a police department, we got our eyes and ears on it. I'm kind of confused on why he would go the PI route as well.
Like he puts his hands up, like, you know, same team. Mm-hmm. He says, "Yeah, no offense to you guys. I got the call. They said to come in. They sent the car over for me. This is a tight business. I don't necessarily make a lot of money. So when the cases come in, it's not very often that I say no. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. That's why I want to come over and talk to you guys and, you know, get permission to go talk to the family. I don't want to be in anybody's way, and I don't want to ruffle any feathers."
And he doesn't give you like a mad look, but he kind of gives you kind of a stern look, and but it's soft. And he's just kind of like, "Yeah, well, just keep in mind, like, we're okay with you helping out with this, obviously, because that's your job. Just make sure that you're not, boy, I wish I was better with words because I had a word and it lost it. It was a perfect word. Just don't hinder our investigation."
No, of course not. I'll you know, share anything that, that seems pertinent. Yeah. I just trying to find the ball. Yeah. I don't know. I run into this over in Queens too. Some of the guys down there, they don't like me too much. You know, think I'm stepping on toes, but
yeah, there's a lot of people in the in these departments and stuff like that. It takes them a lot to climb the ladder in this job. So I'm not surprised. I'm not threatened by people. So, like, that doesn't bother me, but it can bother other people. So I'm just warning you to keep your eye out.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Well, I appreciate the heads up there. Like I said, I appreciate you, you know, extending a hand.
Of course. And he kind of looks at his watch and he says, "Well, I think that's all the time I have for you for now. I actually have a few other cases that I need to be digging in on." So,
yeah, city never sleeps.
Never does. And he holds out his hand.
Yeah, I shake. I tell you, have a good night.
Yeah, you as well.
Be safe out there.
You too.
Thanks. And he heads back outside. I assume that Freddy is leaning on the car, smoking, mm-hmm. kind of hat down.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he's definitely enjoying the nice, crisp April day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, "All right, we got a new destination."
All right. give me the destination, we'll hit it.
It's 1826 31st Street.
And he kind of thinks about it or whatever. He's like, well, that's kind of a ways out. So that's gonna take us a little bit of a journey.
Oh, okay. How far are we talking?
Take us probably a good half hour.
He kind of nods slowly. He's like, all right. Nice night for a drive.
All right. Yeah. Yep. So you get in, you head out. Like, it's not, obviously it's not bothering him because he's on call. He probably gets paid well. So it's not bothering him one bit.
Well, I make small talk.
All right.
I'm like, so Freddie, what do you know about Johnny Timbo? Anything? Is he a good kid? You ever run into him?
Johnny Timbo? Yeah, he's a good kid. Yeah, he's, he's always on time, hard worker, you know, never misses a day. Damn shame that he was sick that one, the day that the ball got, you know, that the ball went missing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe that was good luck for him, right?
Yeah,
I can't blame him if he wasn't there.
That's true. That is true. Though I heard a rumor that he's like gone missing or something. Like, no one's been able to get a hold of him?
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's weird, right?
That's too bad. I like that kid. I hope he didn't get into any trouble.
Well, hopefully not.
Yeah, I don't like that idea. Ugh, Johnny.
Yeah, a young kid.
Gets any trouble.
It'd be a shame. Some young guy got, you know, something happened to him.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding. Boy, and all this for a baseball.
Yeah, can you believe it? He could have just signed another one. Who the hell would know the difference?
Yeah, no kidding. That's really weird.
Makes you call into question the whole collectibles market, huh?
It does. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I this is they just kind of chit chat.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of the way. Yeah.
You mean you don't want to talk for half an hour?
Look, we already did breakfast and lunch and.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding. All right. Yeah, yeah. So you know, it's a little later now. You're getting into 4 o'clock-ish now, maybe.
It's probably later than that. Maybe even. More, I'm thinking it's like 5:30, 6 o'clock, maybe.
Now? Okay. All right.
But you feel by the time you drive somewhere, you talk to somebody,
Yeah, there's a lot of different things. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So yeah, you head over. It's a nice little one-story building or a nice little one-story house. Lemon yellow paint, one-car garage, a little basketball hoop on the outside of the garage. And lights are on. You can tell somebody's home.
He says, okay, yeah, well, wait there. Shouldn't be too long.
All right.
So he gets out, walks up, you know, kind of like just scopes the yard, looks left, looks right, kind of just seeing what's happening, knocks on the door. I think he has a business card out already, kind of in his hand.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So a very short, lovely young lady or lovely older lady opens the door, says, hello. Can I help you?
Yes. What the hell was the last name?
Timbo.
Timbo. Mrs. Timbo?
Yes.
He reaches out. He has the business card in his hand. He says, my name is Detective George Armstrong. How are you doing this evening? Not detective. Yeah. Private investigator.
Yes. I was like, wait a minute. Are you lying? That doesn't sound right. yes, Mr. Armstrong. We've already talked to the Manhattan PD. What brings you here?
I'm following up on a parallel investigation. We heard that Johnny hasn't been heard from. Have you heard from him since? Do we know if he's doing okay? Any contact made by him to you?
And she like it. It's almost like she wants to start crying and then she kind of like holds herself up or whatever. And she's like, no, we haven't heard from Johnny since the incident at the stadium.
I think he would like step forward and kind of like, you know, rub the shoulder kind of thing, show compassion, get her to talk a little bit more, mm-hmm. You know, I feel what you feel, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he says, yeah, okay. Well, that doesn't mean anything bad happened, you know, and he's, you know, patting her back. You know, maybe he's scared. He, you know, he thought maybe he was going to get blamed. So he's hiding. Does he have any close friends that he hangs around with? Anybody, someplace I might be able to find him? Does he have a place that he likes to go? Maybe to blow off some steam.
And she's like thinking or whatever. She's like, no, Johnny was a pretty to himself kind of boy. Like, he just went to the stadium, you know, and then came home. You know, if he ever went out with friends, they just went out to eat, like nothing, you know, nowhere like too. And she likes just like almost starts breaking down. She's like, she just can't handle it. She's like, I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he went.
Did he say anything about the opening weekend? Did he seem excited about the fact that the auction was there, the ball was there, the Cuddles was gonna be there, anything of that nature?
And she kind of like sniffles a little bit, and she's just thinking back. She's like, he was pretty nervous, you know. He just wanted to make sure everything went smoothly, you know. He wanted to make sure deliveries were on time, and, you know, because, you know, when there's lots of fans, you know, you have to make sure you have all the hot dogs, all the buns, all the peanuts, all the Cracker Jacks, that kind of thing. And, you know, now that you mention it, he seemed more nervous than usual, but, you know, I mean, it was a big moment. So, you know, of course, he probably had a lot of pressure.
Does he have a girlfriend or anything that you know of?
No, he's not really good with the girls. So no, he doesn't really have a girlfriend at all. You know, there's a couple of girls around the neighborhood that he talks about, but yeah, no, he's not a very forward boy.
I want to ask you two more questions, and I apologize in advance. I don't mean anything by it. I just you know, have to track down all possible leads.
It's okay.
He wasn't in any sort of trouble. He didn't have any like gambling debts. He didn't owe any money to anybody that you're aware of.
And
she didn't seem concerned about money.
She stays silent. She doesn't say anything.
Is it, in a meta sense, is it worth to make an insight? Like, to me as a player and as George, you're like, oh, ding, that's a bell, right?
Yeah.
So does it make sense to even roll? Yeah. Like, I can intuit that. I'm not even going to
have you roll. Yeah. The okay. Silence speaks volumes.
Okay. So he just sort of blows past it, and, you know, still kind of like rubbing her shoulder or whatever. Unless she sort of like stiffens and pulls away, right? Like with that sort of question.
No, she doesn't. She's okay with being comforted.
He says, and this one maybe a little tougher, and again, I apologize, but you're not in any difficult financial straits yourself, are you? I don't mean to pry, it's not my business, but if by chance Johnny thought that maybe something like this would be able to help you if something was amiss, you know, it would be him looking out for his mom, and that's very admirable. It wouldn't be the best way to go about it necessarily, but you could understand a young man's desire to help a parent.
And she kind of thinks of whatever, and she's like no, we do pretty good over here, you know. Our house is paid for, and me and Robert, we have really good jobs. So like, we don't need any money. So I don't know why he would have to do anything like that.
And you have a very lovely home, let me say.
Thank you. And you hear in the background, you hear a male voice, and you say, and he says, Susan, who's there? And she turns back and she says, oh, it's okay, Robert. It's just a private investigator. Just looking into Johnny, trying to figure out where he is so he can help bring him home. And this not super large guy, but tall guy, big enough around the shoulders, standing about 6'1" or whatever, walks up, and he's like, can I help you?
Yes, I was just following up. I have a parallel investigation with the Manhattan Police Department. We're concerned about Johnny. We want to make sure that nothing bad happened to him. Just trying to find out whether or not he had any you know, particular friends that he liked to hang around with, any places that he liked to go. We don't want anything bad to happen to him, whether he's involved or just assumed to be involved in anything that may or may not have happened.
And he's like, he like looks at you sternly or whatever. And he's like, do you have any credentials?
Of course. And he like gestures, like, I assume she's kind of like absolutely holding the card.
Yeah, for sure.
Or maybe she just like turns and,
you know. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And he grabs it from her and looks at whatever. He's like, ah, Mr. George Armstrong. He's like, Mr. Armstrong, I mean, you should probably let the police take care of this, because that's their job.
Oh, yes, of course it is. As I said, my investigation runs parallel to them. I already talked to Detective Michaels and received permission before even coming out and speaking with you.
And it for some reason, that doesn't even seem to like... Yeah, it doesn't even
seem... Peter, beer in hand, like, what the fuck are you at my
house? Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's supper time. They're trying to eat. You know, you can tell he's just... maybe he's got the pressure of his lost son too, so he's probably just mad or whatever. And he's just like, well, how about this? How about you don't come back here until our son is found? Go out there and find him instead of here, because you're not gonna find him here.
I was gonna insight that, but based on her reaction, I don't think he's here. Mm-hmm. Sorry to bother you in this trying time. I will do everything I can to make sure that your son is returned safe.
And he kind of like lightly pushes his wife out of the doorway and says, see that you do. And he slams the door.
I just stand there for a minute, like, deep breath. Must be traumatic to have a child go missing. I think he's just, like, he stands there for like 30 seconds or whatever. Like, maybe they turn the light off too.
Yeah.
And he just wanders back to the car and says, well, that went about as well as I would have expected.
And Frederick actually like kind of sees where you're going from there, and he says, so, you know, some things go a little smoother than others. Where to next, boss?
I think I may regret saying this, but I think maybe we should take a ride over to the Boom Boom Room.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.